Good morning. First of all, I will introduce myself. My name is Merlin. I'm a researcher at IMEC. IMEC is a non-profit research center here in Belgium, and I teach at Ghent University. And as part of my research, I work a lot on open source software, for example, with Ubuntu. But today I will talk about my work on working on WebAssembly, together with the WC3 WebAssembly System Interface group. Specifically, I will talk about WebAssembly for IoT devices. This might be a little bit counterintuitive. Why do we want to get this web technology and use it on IoT devices? So let me start with the specific problem that we want to solve. The average lifespan of a car in Europe is 30 years. So most cars run for at least 30 years. This is mostly, they get bought mostly in Western Europe and then get a second-hand run in Eastern Europe, but still in Europe, average lifespan of cars is 30 years. 30 years ago, this was the operating system that most of us were using. If we were not using one of the earlier versions of Linux. And so this also means that the chips in those very old cars, the software on those chips was compiled on this kind of a system. So how can you keep updating these cars? How do you update the software on a car that uses a compiler that runs normally on Windows 95? Well, the answer is basically you update these things, either you don't update them or you update them incredibly slowly. There's a lot of software packages that are running in cars that are running on the street at the moment that are at least 10 years old. And if you look at, for example, OpenSSL, anyone who knows even a little bit about security knows that running a 10 years old version of OpenSSL is basically running everything unencrypted, because this is full of holes. And we see, as a result of that, each year the number of CVEs impacting cars is rising exponentially. Now, there is a lot of good news. The good news is that the reason why the CVEs specifically are rising exponentially is not because suddenly cars become a lot more vulnerable, but it's because suddenly car manufacturers are forced to actually start looking at software vulnerabilities inside of cars. And so what they need in order to solve this is an easy way to update software on cars. Otherwise, you have things like this, the Kia challenge, where in the US, a whole bunch of kids on TikTok started showing each other how to break into a Kia car. And Kia basically had to recall a whole bunch of vehicles, had to pay very expensive lawsuits, and still a lot of people in the US drive around with Kia cars that are vulnerable to attacks that kids teach each other using TikTok. The good news is that this kind of problem, the problem of constantly updating software and having backwards compatibility and stuff like that, it's a problem that we actually already solved. Every single time you open Netflix, your web browser is basically downloading the Netflix app, the latest version of the Netflix app, and is showing you and is running it on your device. And this is also how companies like Netflix and Amazon and Disney can support thousands and sometimes even tens of thousands of different devices with the exact same application. Almost every single TV has a Netflix app and a Disney Plus app. And well, that app itself is simply a browser. The actual content that is being shown gets downloaded on the fly when the app starts up. So my proposal is to use WebAssembly and WebAssembly System Interface for embedded development, for development of IoT devices. Because, first of all, you have binary device portability across instruction set architectures. This means that since a lot of car manufacturers right now are using multiple different CPU architectures inside of their cars, and most of them are starting to switch to RISC-V, well, this doesn't actually impact their pipeline if they use WebAssembly because the same binary runs on all of these devices. Moreover, WebAssembly gives you support for much more programming languages and language interoperability. If you talk to an embedded software engineer, most of them are using C. Some of them might be using C++. Very, very few of them might be using Rust. But this is an area where most developers are using C. And this is not necessarily because C is such a great programming language for this use case. This is specifically because many vendors of these embedded devices simply give the developers a specific C compiler and say, "Okay, now you can use this to compile software on this device. And if you want to run another programming language, well, that won't happen because this compiler only supports C." WebAssembly also gives you forward compatibility with newer application tool chains over multiple decades. So when we go back to this 30-year-old car, the original tool chain was running on Windows 95. Well, you can use modern tool chains to compile to WebAssembly that still runs on the very first WebAssembly runtimes. You will be able to do the exact same thing in 30 years. It doesn't matter whether or not the device initially shipped with whatever compiler, you can use the latest compiler to just compile to WebAssembly. And then finally, this is a big one, secure and sandboxed execution of software, where other solutions like containers or virtual machines do not fit. We have a prototype of this running on a microcontroller with 265 kilobytes of memory. So you have fully sandboxed software. Each different component of your software is completely sandboxed on a microcontroller that cannot even run Linux, let alone run containers. In my opinion, this is really cool. But most importantly, in order to have this technology be able to work on embedded devices, these last two are incredibly important. You need to have support for existing software. You need to be able to just recompile your existing software to WebAssembly for this system to work, because none of these companies want to throw away 50 years of investment in their software stack. And then secondly, you need to have near-native efficiency in execution and compilation, specifically because these devices have so little resources. So 2 years ago, at the US version of WASMCON, the WebAssembly conference, some people from Bosch had this slide on the screen. I was very happy with seeing this slide. And so how they explain it is WebAssembly can act as a narrow waist of automotive software. Underneath WebAssembly, you have this very broad area of ecosystem of different devices, different operating systems, some devices being 30 years old. And then above WebAssembly, you have this continuously evolving ecosystem of applications and software tool chains. And the thing that connects the two is WebAssembly. WebAssembly is the standard way to run applications on this very diverse set of hardware and operating systems. And so when they talk about challenges, I was very happy to see this because this is the exact thing that we're working on. We need to define unifying interfaces to the underlying software layers. As the previous speaker also said, WebAssembly is completely sandboxed by default, so it cannot access your hardware. But we need to access hardware when you're running on microcontrollers. This is often the only thing that your software actually does, is steer other hardware. So, and then secondly, it's very important that this is standardized, because if we create a proprietary, non-standardized way to access hardware today, there is basically no chance that in 20, 30 years, the tool chains will still be compatible with it. We want this compatibility, so we need this standardization of these interfaces. And that's what I call cyber-physical WebAssembly. For those of you who don't know the buzzword, cyber-physical basically is a software system that connects to hardware, that drives hardware. And we can use WebAssembly for these cyber-physical things. And so the goal is, the goal is just WebAssembly on IoT devices. We want, for example, we want to secure drivers so that if you have a software supply chain vulnerability and one of your drivers is compromised, that attacking that driver still has, an attacker that has access to that driver still has limited reach to the entire device. This is not only important for security, but also for stability. If one of your drivers crashes and your cyber-physical system is a critical system in a car or something, you don't want your entire system to go down just because one of the drivers crashed. Then, secondly, portable drivers. Right now, it's quite difficult to release products on the market because you need drivers for every single microcontroller, every single operating system. Some of these are simply not supported. Well, with WebAssembly, we can just compile our driver to WebAssembly using these standardized interfaces, and then it can run basically anywhere. So this is basically what it looks like. You have this WebAssembly application. Inside of the WebAssembly application is first of all an application, and second of all, then for example, your standard hardware abstraction layer. For example, the Rust Hall, for example, and then this connects using a standardized interface to the WebAssembly runtime, and using the standardized interface, it basically says to the WebAssembly runtime, okay, now contact this sensor and write these values to those registers on that external device. And then the WebAssembly runtime is responsible for translating these standardized, abstracted calls into specific calls for the specific operating system that we're running on. And so for the application, it doesn't matter if it's running on Windows, on Linux, on a real-time operating system. The calls are exactly the same. But then the runtime is responsible for translating these calls to host calls to the host operating system. One of the interfaces that we built is WASI USB. This standard is currently in phase one as part of the WebAssembly system interface standards proposal, and it's based on basically the API of libUSB. If you've done any USB development, most of you are doing it with libUSB. It's basically the standard library in order to contact USB devices on any platform. And so we modeled our standardized API very closely to libUSB, so that first of all, it's incredibly easy to compile libUSB so that it uses this standard. And second of all, so that it's very easy for existing applications to just use our interface instead of libUSB itself. The second interface that we've built is WASI I2C. This is a standard that is currently in phase two, and this is based on the embedded Hall interface. Embedded Hall is a Rust library in order to contact I2C regardless of which operating system you're on. And so here too, we ensure compatibility with basically standard libraries so that it's very easy for these libraries to use our API, and so it's very easy for applications that use these libraries to use our API. We wrote about this work. We have a bunch of proof of concepts. We wrote about this and got a paper accepted to the IEEE NOMS conference about this. And what is very, very interesting and what gives me a lot of hope for bringing this to the actual production environments is that the overhead is exceptionally low. For example, the additional overhead that we have with running a driver and an application inside of WebAssembly to contact a USB device versus running it natively is 0.007 milliseconds. Especially when you take into account that regular round trip times for basically a USB window is much, much larger than that. And so often, for most calls, the overhead of WebAssembly is so small that you don't actually see it in your applications. Throughput performance is exactly the same. We have great throughput. We have a little bit higher reduction of the throughput, but still we have a great throughput. So we're still working on this. We're still going to improve these standards. I2C, hopefully, maybe this year we're going to move it to phase 3 USB. Definitely this year we're going to move it to phase 2. And we're working on two other standards, one to access just GPIO, just pins, and one to access SPI devices. And also we're working on standardizing these. But the most exciting part of my presentation, and also the one that gives me the most stress, is that we're going to try to give a demo. Specifically, what I'm going to demo is a WebAssembly application, basically Pacman, running inside of a WebAssembly component together with a USB device driver for an Xbox controller, and that then uses a WebAssembly runtime in order to run everything. So let's take a look. So the first thing I want to show is, as you can see here, we're basically running WASMTime USB. This is just a modified version of WASMTime that has an additional host component to implement our USB support. This isn't yet upstream to WASMTime itself. This is also something that we're working on. And we run a WebAssembly application, enumerate devices rust.wasm. So it's just a Rust implementation of LSUSB that we run as WebAssembly. And of course, so as you can see, WebAssembly now sees all these USB devices. Now I'm going to connect an Xbox controller via USB, since we don't have a standard for Bluetooth yet, only for USB. I'm going to connect this Xbox controller via USB to my laptop, and then I'm going to run the Pac-Man game. Let's see if this works. Yes. So as you can see on the top, these are the values of my Xbox controller that you see which buttons are being pressed. Now I press B, now I press A, and then I can also play the game itself. The dot in the middle is Pac-Man. Interestingly, when I run it on my screen, I don't see the flickering, so I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, this is the device driver for this USB controller. It's running inside of WebAssembly next to the application itself, and it's using also WASI in order to then show this screen to my terminal window. It's using the some of the CLI standards in order to show CLI output. That's it. I have one last slide. So I have a lot of people to thank for this work. Sadly, my colleague Michiel, he couldn't be here today because he is very, very busy grading papers. For some reason, they put our exam on Friday, and we have to give in the results on Monday. So he's very busy grading papers. And this work is also supported, like many people here at FOSDEM, this work is also supported by the European Union. We got a very generous grant from the European Union to work on this. So anyone here who is a European citizen, thank you for your taxpayer dollars or your taxpayer euros to fund me. And everyone who's not a European citizen, why are you not? I see Friedrich is also here. He is one of the students that helped us with this and who's now going to do a PhD with us, also working on WebAssembly. So I think we have some time for questions. So the question is, what is WASM time? WASM time is a WebAssembly runtime. The interesting thing about WASM time is that it's a WebAssembly runtime without the actual web part. So WebAssembly itself is just a bytecode format. It's just instructions for your CPU. But then a WebAssembly application still needs to talk to the outside. For example, if WebAssembly is running in your browser, it needs to access HTML. It needs to be able to download files. In your browser, WebAssembly does this by calling JavaScript. In WASM time, this JavaScript API is completely gone, and the only API that is available is a WebAssembly native API called the WebAssembly System Interface. And that's basically why the runtime WASM time is so great for IoT devices and edge devices, is because it's a lot smaller than the older Node.js runtimes, for example, that also have JavaScript. And that's also why we see the amazing performance. That's why we see so little latency, because instead of having to call JavaScript to then contact the operating system, we can just contact the operating system almost directly using the WebAssembly system interface.
In the last few years, you see a lot of different WASM runtimes coming up and all different kinds of use cases why the one works better than the other. Do you see an issue there where all those different runtimes create portability will not exist anymore because, oh, if I want to use IoT, I need to use this runtime with these interactions, and if I want to do more cloud-native stuff, I need to use something like WASM Edge, which has just a little bit too much differences over the years.
Yeah, so that's a very good question. The question is, we have so many different WebAssembly runtimes, don't we risk losing compatibility? The idea is, compile once, run it everywhere, but then what if every runtime implements something else? That's a very good question, and the answer for that is that how these runtimes differ from each other is only in one thing. It's which WebAssembly system interfaces these runtimes support. Some of them only support the actual standardized interfaces, and if you compile for such a runtime, then you know that it will work everywhere, because these are the standardized interfaces. Some of them, like our own WASM Time USB, for example, have not yet standardized or in progress standards interfaces. And so if you compile for a runtime like that, well, then obviously that's not going to work in other runtimes. The interesting thing is that since the last version of the WebAssembly system interface, they added the concept of worlds. A world is basically a collection of all the interfaces that is supported. And so when you use WebAssembly in the cloud or in the edge, the cloud provider will basically give you a description of a world that says, these are all the interfaces that are supported by my runtime. And it's very easy. You can just give that to your compiler and use that to compile your applications. And you will get errors if your application is using interfaces that are not supported by that runtime. And so the idea is not that every single runtime will support everything. The idea is that developers basically choose which world they target based on where they want their application to run. Another thing I want to add is that WebAssembly is incredibly pluggable. So even if a runtime doesn't support an interface, you could have another WebAssembly component that implements that interface. And so we also see some developments like WASIvert, where it's basically like in the old browsers, when many browsers didn't support the newest JavaScript features, where we just implement these features then in WebAssembly itself, with less performance, but your application will still run, even though the runtime doesn't support all the interfaces you need. So lowest performing target for our I2C interface is a microcontroller that has 265 kilobytes of RAM. the WebAssembly runtime itself on such a device takes about 60 kilobytes of storage space. And so I think that's the absolute lowest. We have, in the Bytecode Alliance, we have an embedded special interest group where we are working on defining for most features what will be the lowest. And it seems like it seems like it will also be something like that. Like that's probably the lowest target. Yeah, that's a very good question. So the question is, in the WebAssembly component model, what kind of features would help us? So we are already using the WebAssembly component model here. And what's very, very nice is that the WebAssembly component model allows us to package a driver and then an application as two separate components. And the runtime just merges them and runs them as a single WebAssembly application. The downside of the WebAssembly component model is that when data crosses the boundary between two components or from a component to the host runtime, there you have copies. And so I'm very, very looking forward. The embedded SIG is looking at creating extensions to the component model that allow data transfer between components and from a component to the host runtime without a copy. Something like MemMap or something like that. I think that will be great and will lower our overhead even more.
Time is up. Thank you very much.
Okay.